One thing about me is that I'm mortal, like I'm an organism, which is weird on its own. Like I'm a collection of literal atoms that decided to hang out together for a while and which will eventually be unable to hang out together any longer. And then I will, this is the weirdest part, cease to be. And there's nothing that can be done about that because, like, planets and stars also cease to be. It's a real conundrum, and I'm not going to find my way through it in this advertisement. But we can make life less terrible for those who survive us, and that's why there's life insurance. I have life insurance because the people who are counting on me will be supported after my atoms can no longer hold it together, and Policy Genius is here to make life insurance easier. Policy Genius isn't an insurance company, it's a marketplace where buying insurance is straightforward and affordable. With Policy Genius, you can find life insurance policies that start at just $292 per year for $1 million of coverage. Some options offer same-day approval and avoid unnecessary medical exams, so check life insurance off your to-do list in no time with Policy Genius. Head to policygenius.com or click the link in the description to get your free life insurance quotes and see how much you could save. That's policygenius.com.
Hello and welcome to Dear Hank and Catherine.
As I like to think of it, Dear Catherine and Hank. I thought you were going to say Dear Hank and John.
Oh, yeah, I guess I usually do that. It's a podcast where two family members answer your questions, give you devious advice, and bring you all the week's news from Mars! And only Mars, Catherine!
I did not prepare anything about football.
No, teams, sorry.
And John will be back. That's fine. You'll get 2 weeks worth of news next week.
He'll be back next week with news about AFC Wimbledon.
Or there's always Google.
You could also look it up yourself, and I'm sure that it will be important. He's right now working hard on the Anthropocene Reviewed book, so he wanted a little extra time. So we have given him that time. Catherine, do you remember the time you got really mad at me right after you told me to put ketchup on the grocery list? You were like, oh, no, I can't read it at all.
Oh, no. I forgot that was happening. And then I realized what was happening. And then I didn't know how to react.
Yeah. Did you get what the joke was going to be?
No, I mean, not really. But my brain shut down.
Turned off. She turned down. Just like, I realized, oh, no, it's happening.
I realized what was happening. And I was like, oh, God.
Just regress, dissociate. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
This close to you, for Dear Hank and John podcast energy is a little painful.
It's a lot, isn't it?
He's loud, you guys.
Delita's energy was lower than this.
It's not the same energy. You really project right out into it.
Yeah. Well, I got to bring your energy up too. And all the people at home listening.
Let's bring it up. I'll just keep my finger in the ear that is closest to you.
Is it that loud?
My ear hurt.
Okay. I'll try and hold it back then a little bit. I know a lot of people try to sleep while listening to this podcast, which does seem like a peculiar choice.
Yeah. What?
Yeah. There's all kinds of podcasts that I feel like would be better at that.
Yeah. You're going to miss all the extra good advice.
I mean,
is that what you do on this podcast?
For a long time, you slept during McElroy podcasts.
That was just because I was extremely sleep deprived as a
Nua?
Yes.
Yeah. But you could have listened to like anything.
I never knew when I was going to be sleeping though.
Right.
And it just occasionally happened that I was also listening to McElroy podcast.
Yeah, it's so
now
good
my
to
strategy
have
is I just listen to Pride and Prejudice audiobook or Jane Austen audiobook. I've listened to them so many times it doesn't matter if I fall asleep.
Yeah.
And they put me to sleep immediately.
That's good.
Ask me a question.
This question's from Ella, who asks, Dear Hank and Catherine, how many songs should I put together to make a perfect playlist? I found that too many makes the playlist feel disparate. Like it's just a collection of random unconnected songs. But having too few leads to frequent repetition, which feels samey and boring. It's true. A 10-song playlist really cannot carry you through anything. Where should I aim to get the correct balance of musical spice and unity? Also, on a related note, how many playlists do you recommend having, and how do you categorize them? Pumpkins and polkas, Ella's. You're not talking to the right people here.
I mean, yeah.
But I can have an opinion on something I know nothing about.
Okay.
pretty effectively.
I mean, yeah, it sounds like this person knows a lot more about making playlists than we do.
If you're going to have shorter playlists, you have to have more of them. And so if your playlists, like, to get that feeling of unity, like you're telling a story.
I just can't imagine having the time to, like, do this.
But do you, we used to. Yes. We used to do it.
I guess. Yeah, and we used to do it with, like, actual tapes, CDs and CDs. And tapes.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know.
And with that, you had a cap. You could put, like, max 20 songs on a CD.
Well, that was the real
uh-huh.
thing about making a mixed CD is, like, you want to get as many songs as possible.
Right.
Without wasting space.
Yeah, because you got, like, if you have, like, 2 minutes at the end, you're like, I got to find a 1 minute, 58 second song.
Or I got to take one of these longer ones off, or another one off, and put a longer one on.
Yeah. Luckily, we listened to music where there were many very short songs.
Many very short songs.
So it was made usually pretty easy to stick one in there to fill it up.
I wasn't worried about samey and boring, though.
Yeah. Well,
like,
that's the point
of a playlist is, like, so you vibe.
Yeah.
Right? It keeps you in a mood.
It's the repetition where you're like, if you listen to the same playlist over and over again, then you're like, oh, man, like, now I'm listening to Shaky Shaky again, and I just heard that song.
Well,
you don't have to worry about that with CDs because you can only have it be so long.
Yeah.
And then you just put another one in if you get bored with it. So that's what I think.
Just make it the average length of a CD.
Exactly. Like, just put a cap.
45 or 60 minutes.
Yeah.
I feel like you think of it as like an episode of television.
Yeah.
Like, because that's about how much time you have.
Yeah.
You know, it's like a unit of time. Uh-huh. And then you do that thing while you're listening to this playlist for that long. And then you move on to the next thing.
And I think it's just hard to define any kind of structure beyond that length. Because I think that, like, playlist structure is important. But beyond that length, it's just like, okay, so you can have sort of like a rise and then you sort of coast for a long time.
Yeah, I mean,
if it's like a wedding DJ kind of playlist.
Right. I mean, you think of it as like a film where it's got like a beginning, a middle, and an end.
Yeah.
So if you want to make it longer, then you have to script it.
On your related note, how many playlists do we recommend you having? I think there is never too many, and I think that you have to share them like candy, like little gifts for all the people in your life. I love to find playlists that my friends put together and be like, look at you, you weirdo.
Yeah, I do. Like, some of my favorite music came from CDs that people gave me in the past. That no one does that anymore, but I guess people listen to other people's playlists.
Yeah, you can just, it's very easy to just click and share a playlist, which, you know, kind of cheapens it a little bit.
Yeah, it does, because you didn't have to do that work.
Yeah.
You don't have to mail it to me in the mail.
And just like wait for your computer to go for a while.
just to figure out what this is.
Just a little weed whacker in there making music somehow.
Just get it real hot. Just turn the fan on real hot. Oh my God, the fan would come on and you'd be like, I guess I'm in the wind now.
Yeah,
I'm listening to this
my
music.
My legs are hot.
I'm listening to this music in the wind.
Uh-huh. I guess my legs weren't hot because I used to have it on my desktop.
Yeah.
My big tower.
You didn't have laptops.
Yeah. God. And I'd have like there'd be a two CD drive so you could like burn straight from one to the other. Oh, yeah.
That's the one. You had to do it that way.
Mm.
You weren't going to, like,
put
all those files on your computer.
On your computer? There's no space for that.
Oh, my God.
I do. It has really happened now where I'm really aware of how anachronistic my childhood was.
Absolutely.
And it's actually, like, it is changing my perspective on the world where I'm like, things change. They change a lot.
They do.
And we can continue to expect that. And it's I think, making me a little more hopeful.
Oh.
Though I may just be in a hopeful place because spring is arriving, the sun is out.
Oh, God.
And many of the people who I love have gotten vaccinated.
Yeah,
that's
a big deal.
Who knows what's next and how much it's gonna change things and help people. There's a mRNA malaria vaccine now, which is exciting.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
Wow.
So who knows? Who knows where we're headed? Hopefully a good place, a better place.
All right, Hank, here's one. I was going through some old photos with my wife and came across some of a couple we knew 8 years ago. We haven't remained in touch with them, but have remained Facebook friends. I sent a couple of pictures their way wishing them well, but was wondering after the fact if this was weird.
Mm.
What's the cutoff time for such a thing? Should I just let the past be the past?
Mm.
Picture problem in Texas.
Oh, picture problem in Texas, like we're a regular old advice column.
Beep, boop, 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 boop. Yeah, right? I don't see anything wrong with this.
No, there's definitely nothing wrong with it. I'm trying to like picture who is the like analogous couple in our lives. And they've got plenty of them.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, and like...
There's definitely people that we like were friends with in grad school.
Yeah.
That we've fallen out of touch with, but I wouldn't be
I would
like,
love to hear from them.
Yeah.
And
for the most part.
For the most part. If you're out there and you're the ones that we don't want to hear from, you know who you are.
No, they don't. Yeah, no, I mean, unless there was like some reason you fell out of touch.
No,
that was,
yeah. It's yeah just, I think it's just a thing.
Yeah, I think it's lovely to reconnect mm-hmm. and reminisce. And if they don't get back to you, it just probably means they're not on Facebook right now.
Yeah, or their phone number's changed, depending on how you sent a picture to them. I don't know. I don't know what you actually did. Did you mail it?
Facebook.
Well, they said they're friends on Facebook.
Oh, that's
true. They just said we sent a picture to them. Like, I want that badly. I want people from my past to reach out. You look at me like I'm crazy.
It's different for you because you are now
right.
a personality
sure.
with influence and fame.
Yeah.
And
yeah, it's
I don't like it. Sometimes
it can sometimes be like, because what do you want?
Yeah. They're yeah. like, let's talk about my idea I had.
That obviously is not what I'm talking about.
I'm like, no.
The weirdest one is,
we're not gonna.
Is I've had I get this a surprising amount. I've had an idea about dark matter.
Oh my God.
And I'm like, your idea about dark matter is wrong.
Well,
and also, I don't know anything about dark matter.
What makes you think that I would be the person to talk about this? You have a general idea that I know science and like might have an opinion on your dark matter theory?
Yeah.
No.
I know what dark, I know, I, yeah, I know the exactly as much as you do about dark matter.
Yeah. Nothing.
I know why we think it exists, but as for what it is, that's all equations, and I do not want to get near them.
No, thank you.
I see the equations, and I think, boy, I would need
a wild tangent
6 months to even understand the variables in that equation.
Yeah.
Let alone what you're trying to do with them.
So, yeah, just for your past couple friends, like dark matter.
be like I had an idea about what dark matter is.
you probably exist.
Uh-huh.
And just throw stuff at it. I don't know.
Throw stuff at
you
dark.
Never know.
Throw dark matter at it.
Yeah.
Catherine, this question comes from Ellen, who asks, "Dear Hank and Catherine, I was noticing the other day my houseplant had dust on it. Does a similar type of dust happen outside? Apart from just dust blowing from the ground? Dust in time. Dust in time. Ellen. All we are is dust in the time."
Oh, that made me think about step in time, step in time, step in time, step in time. Never need a reason, never need a rhyme. Kick your knees up, step in time. You know, that one?
Nope.
From Mary Poppins?
I don't, but I was happy to have it keep going.
Yeah, great.
I think I've not seen Mary Poppins since I was a child.
Hmm.
Dust outside is an interesting idea because dust outside is just.
Well, there is like road dust.
Sure, there's dust for sure. There's dust out there, but it's outside. Dust is just a part of the dirt.
It's just.
But what happens is
soil and dirt
is outside. It's windy and rainy sometimes, and so the dust doesn't stick around. It gets taken down into the ground where it becomes part of the dirt.
Mm-hmm.
But inside, it never rains.
No, it doesn't.
As long as everything's going well.
You don't want it to.
Recently rained in Catherine's parents' house.
Yes.
Which is bad.
Not great.
And sorry, everybody in Texas, also apologies if it recently rained in your homes.
Oh, yeah. Bad situation.
Bad situation. And it's very, very much not windy indoors.
Yeah, I don't know about like type of dust.
Oh, I know all about type of dust.
Okay, because I think inside dust is mostly, you don't want to know.
Well, it turns out Veritasium did a video on this.
Oh, okay.
And he found a book that was like a book about
dust. Why don't you just go
dust.
Watch that video?
I'd suggest that you do.
Next question.
But largely, you think that it's going to be skin cells, because that's what everybody talks about.
I think I watched this.
It turns out that there is plenty of skin cells, but mostly it is It is pieces of your clothing.
Yeah, it's just like lint.
Yeah.
It's just tiny, tiny, tiny lint. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there's also, like, it depends on where you are. Like, if you're near a road, you get a lot of brake dust. If you're in the country, you get a lot of, like, dust just that's just pieces
soil.
Of, like, tiny little dirt and rock pieces. Yeah, and it was interesting because, like, what is dust? Mm-hmm. And it turns out, of course...
Just very, very tiny solid particles that have settled on something.
It's any solid that can be suspended in air.
Mm-hmm.
Like I don't know if they had an amount of time, but like if you put it in air, it doesn't just fall to the ground.
Yeah.
It's small enough that it just sort of gets pushed around.
Gives adult humans a soul.
Yes. Yes. And the specters want to consume it.
Yes. But, you know, relatedly, if your houseplant has dust on it, you can either wipe off the leaves individually with a lightly damp cloth.
This Catherine does know about.
Gently.
Uh-huh. Or?
Or you can put it in the shower.
Give it up, man!
But you have to be careful because
plant
leaves can be tender.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard to
dial
down the pressure on your shower sometimes. So if your sink is big enough for your plant, and you have a sprayer in your sink, you can make that. You can dial that down a little bit.
Similar situation, yeah.
Yeah,
that's smart. I hadn't thought about that.
Regularly do this though, because it's not great for the plants to have dust on them.
There's a laundromat we used to go to. And they had this, what is it called? Jade plant?
Years ago. I don't know what kind of plant
it had. It was those, the thick leaves.
Yeah.
And because it was a laundromat, it's a dusty place, lots of lint.
Lots of lint.
And this jade plant was, I don't know, 800 years old. It was huge. And it was very happy. It was a very,
very big,
happy, healthy jade plant, but it was so dusty. And I looked at it and I was like, to dust that plant would be like a 4-day job.
You just take it outside.
And then Catherine was like, you just spray it off.
Just give it a little.
I was like, that never would have occurred to me. That like every plant gets rained on and that's fine for them.
Yeah. But it is easier if you keep up with it instead of letting the dust get so thick that like the water just sort of...
bounces off.
Just bounces off the thick layer
the
of dust.
The hydrophobic dust coating.
Yeah. Dear Hank and Catherine, I have a question about the moon. I know from elementary school that the Earth rotates on its axis and that's where we get the seasons from and stuff, but does the moon rotate around the Earth in a path around its axis? Ooh. Or does it rotate around the Earth about the center plane of the solar system?
Yeah.
Run, Forrest, run, Jenny.
Great, Catherine. So there's the plane of the solar system. Does the moon orbit around us in the plane of the solar system? And then there's the plane of how the Earth spins. Does the moon orbit around us in the plane of how the Earth spins? It orbits us roughly in the plane of the solar system, but not quite. You okay? That was a big sigh.
I'm trying really hard.
To care?
To follow.
Oh, okay.
It's hard.
All right. That's good. Thank you for letting me know. What's confusing?
It's just hard for me to visualize these things without like in my brain to make my brain
all the planets roughly are in a flat plane.
Which is weird.
It is weird, but it is.
But
it makes sense if you understand physics, which I don't.
No.
But I've been told
that there's a reason and it's a good one.
That when a thing spins, they all sort of like
okay,
a,
sure.
Like basically, if you spin a thing,
the matter is going to the all right.
So just imagine it's like
the plane.
A ball of pizza dough and
pizza
you spin it around,
flattening out,
gets flattens out.
Okay.
So that happened, and then, but the Earth while it's spinning is on its tilt.
Sure.
So it goes around and it's tilted the whole time.
Sure.
And so the question is, does the moon go around us with our tilt?
Or does it go around
us?
Oh, sure.
Flat
okay.
in the solar system.
Mm-hmm.
It goes around us flat in the solar system.
Mm.
And it is expected that it would be pretty much exactly flat in the solar system for gravity physics reasons that I don't understand. But it is not. It is 5 degrees off of that plane. And it used to be 10 degrees off of that plane, we think.
How do you know? How do you know?
I think how we know is that you can see the effect in fossil rocks or something.
Wow. Okay.
Or something. I might be wrong about
Scientists
that.
Scientists are amazing.
But there's all kinds of tools.
But why would it have not been in the flat plane?
So
because
probably
of how it
probably
came
how
out of Earth?
Either how it was created or like as it was hit by other stuff during the late heavy bombardment.
Sure,
it's a period
just got knocked around
of time when the after the initial creation of the planets, when something weird happened and a bunch of gravitational instability happened and stuff hit each other a lot, which is where all the craters on the moon mostly are from. Not all of them, but mostly. And that was like 3 billion years ago or something, or more than that. A long time ago.
Okay.
Right around the creation of the solar system. So way more than 3 billion years ago. And so, but it is a legitimate mystery that we do not know the answer to, why the moon is not on the plane of the solar system. That continues to baffle us.
Well, good question then, Jenny.
Yeah. It is called the lunar inclination problem. So if you want to learn about the lunar inclination problem, look that up. And this is also why we don't get a solar eclipse every single time the moon goes around us. So if it wasn't in this 5-degree thing, then a solar eclipse would happen every single time, every single lunar month.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Okay. So, well, wow. Turns out it's pretty important.
Yeah, the moon is very cool, man.
I, like billions of other people, don't have perfect vision on the reg. I either wear glasses or contact lenses. But during the I've been avoiding glasses.
That's great. During the that's what we're going to call it. I'm tired of like 20 years from now, I'll be like, we're not calling it the pandemic.
No, we call it the panopticon.
We call it the
The ponderosa pine.
The picky dicky.
We're going to call it the piggly wiggly.
during the pantsuit.
It's just going to be a multiple syllable P word. I've been avoiding glasses at all costs because I cannot stand when my mask fogs up my glasses. That got me thinking, if my glasses fog up, why don't my eyes?
That's the end of the sentence.
That's it.
If my glasses fog up, why don't my eyes?
Why don't my eyes fog up?
God, I love a great question.
That is a good question. And I also very much relate to this question because same.
I don't have contacts, and so I don't have that option.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm going somewhere today. I'm putting my contacts on. And then if I forget, which sometimes I do, and I like end up having to go to the grocery store or whatever, I'm like, oh God, this is going to be a nightmare.
Yeah.
And I just like push my glasses down to the end of my nose, and I'm like, this will have to do.
As far away from everything as possible.
Yeah.
Just more air circulation.
It does help if you wear that second mask underneath the top mask.
Yeah.
Because then you get a much tighter seal.
Yeah.
But still can escape out there, especially if you're steamy.
Yeah.
Steamy breather, like some people are.
Oh, man.
But yeah, I just push them out a little bit.
Yeah.
So that they're not quite as tight up on your... I don't do that while you're driving.
No.
But if you're just walking around the store, you're probably okay.
So
that's a hack if you forget to put your contacts on and you have to go out and wear a mask somewhere.
Well, just like me and always.
Or if you are just Hank. So if my glasses fog up, why don't my eyes, Hank?
So a couple of reasons. One, your eyes are at body temperature.
Yes.
And the reason why fog condenses on your glasses is because your glasses are cooler than your body. And so that air that's coming out of you is warm. It can hold more moisture. When that air gets exposed to something cold, it cools down. It can hold less moisture. The moisture falls out of the air and condenses.
Fog.
So, yeah. So that's one reason. And the same reason why you can see your breath in the wintertime. That's one reason. But the other thing is that even if it did, and it does a little bit, your eyes are wet. And so it's just like more wet.
Yeah.
It's just wet.
Yeah. And like, where's the fog going to form?
I mean, if you had if our eyes were like a mineral.
Right. And like sometimes your contact lens can kind of like get a little dry and like have a, but that's just because it stops being as attached to your eye, I think.
Mm-hmm. This next question comes from Michael, who asks, Dear Hank and Catherine, did people living before the discovery of electricity ever experience static electricity? And if they did, how do they react? Were people accused of witchcraft for accidentally shocking their friends? Thanks, Michael.
It's a good question. I imagine that static electricity existed before.
It has existed the whole time.
Yes.
And people are like, that's a thing.
That's a thing.
And that's how we felt about everything.
Yeah.
We were just like, that's a thing.
Well, and I think it probably static electricity had something to do with people being like, I wonder what that what I could do with that.
Indeed. And
could I make that into something that would do something else?
Yeah, like Pliny the Elder was like rubbing amber on stuff and picking up like
pieces of paper.
Tiny little things. And so we were aware of this effect.
Yeah.
We didn't know what it was. And we called it, like the Greeks called it an electrikos or something. Like that's where the word electricity comes from. So we were aware of it for a long time before we were able to like turn it into anything useful. Somebody on TikTok asked me once, what did they call the electric eel before electricity? And it turns out, who are they?
Yeah.
Because we actually don't know what electric eels were called before Europeans arrived in South America, where electric eels are from.
Yeah.
Because we've lost that word because of colonization. Mm. So they've been called electric eels the whole time. You know, Europeans didn't know about electric eels before they came to the Americas. And we knew about electricity by then. But electric eels are electric. But not eels, turns out. So we got it half right. Oh. And only the part you thought we would have got wrong.
Yeah.
So yeah, electricity, we've you know, people have been aware of it. They're a kind of fish. They're just not like related to eels. Mm. They look like eels. They're long, skinny fish. But yes, they are fish.
Okay.
And eels are also fish. There's a lot of kinds of fish.
I thought there was no such thing as a fish.
This is the thing.
Okay.
Fish is any...
Saying something is something, but not something else.
Yeah.
Or is that thing, but yeah.
Taxonomy is a big old mess. There are many things that aren't actually in a box that makes sense.
Sure. Do you know what I'm talking about when I say fish? That's what it means. That's what...
Yeah.
That's,
yeah, you know, one of those
matters.
Things. Yeah.
Yeah.
One of those slippery...
It's a swimming
fish
thing.
Fish-shaped things.
Zap scales?
Yeah.
Mm.
A vertebrate?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Great. Not a mammal.
Cool.
Fish.
Breathe the like, gills.
Yeah. It's not a bird. It's not a mammal. And it lives in the water. Breathes the air.
Yeah.
Breathes the water. Basic.
Not an amphibian.
Yeah. Breathes water.
Breathes water.
Basically.
Yeah.
But they can also and often do breathe
but
air.
But can also breathe air, yeah.
Which is frustrating.
That is, yeah.
It's like, I'm...
So that's the one there. What is fish?
Freaking fish breathing air. That's not cool. And us basically are breathing fish.
Excuse?
We're basically air breathing fish.
We are air breathing fish. Okay. Yeah. We're not breathing fish.
Did you know, Catherine, that there's tiny fish
tiny
in the
fish
air
in the
all
air.
The time?
That's the
tiny
way.
Fish. That's why it smells like
well,
that.
We talk about. Oh, gosh. Speaking of smells, Hank.
Uh-huh.
Kaylee asks, dear Hank and Catherine, there's a strange smell in my apartment.
Mm.
I can only smell it when I'm standing in front of my kitchen counter. I cannot find the source. I've looked everywhere. Tried to cover it up with candles.
Oh, wow.
And my essential oil diffuser. But I keep smelling the strange, gross smell.
Mm.
My brain won't stop telling me some creature has died or worse is living in my kitchen. Please help. Oh, Kaylee.
I had a very similar experience. I was in my office and I kept hearing weird video game noises for all day.
How is this a similar experience?
Well, it's like I hear this
okay.
and I'm like, what is it?
Okay.
And I finally I like got up and I thought it was happening outside. I got up and walked around. Oren had turned on days ago my drum set to make a bunch of weird noises.
Oh my God.
I don't even know how he did it. Like I've never managed to make it do it, but it was just like boing
boing boing boing boing boing boing. Just over there by itself.
Yeah. It was just playing some music for days.
It was coming out of the headphones.
Yeah, it was coming out of the headphones.
Oh my God.
And so I literally had to turn it off and turn it on again. Like, I don't know what happened. It got very confused. But I figured it out.
Yeah.
And I feel like there must be a way to figure this out. Like if it's coming from somewhere, smells don't come from nowhere.
Yeah.
There has to be a source and it has to get stronger when you get closer to it.
Yep.
You have to sniff everything.
I mean, you say you've looked everywhere.
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Are you sure? You need to sniff the cracks?
Yeah.
You need to... Get your nose.
You need to take every drawer out of the counter.
Yep. You need to get under there.
In that counter.
Uh-huh.
You might need to take the bottom of your counter off because there's a space between the bottom of your counter
and
your floor.
What is the bottom of my counter? Oh, okay. The kickboard. Is that what it's called?
That does also cover that part up. But yeah. I was talking about like the part of the counter, the cabinet.
Yeah.
Sorry, the part of the cabinet that holds things. When you put things inside your cabinet, the floor.
The little cabinet floor.
Yes. There's a space in between the cabinet floor and the floor.
Right.
And have there could very well be something in there.
Kaylee, have you been in your cabinet yet?
I need you. I'm going to need you
to get in your cabinet.
To take everything out of your cabinet. And then
except
you get
for Kaylee.
You might need a saw. If this is
if this is your home, it's an apartment.
Well, you say it's your apartment, so like, you know, you might need to get your landlord to come over and like crack into your cabinet and be like,
there's a mouse.
Oop, there's a dead one in there. because that could be the source of the smell.
Yeah.
Alternatively, just wait and the smell will go away.
It will eventually go away.
If it is a dead animal.
Yeah, I have been in that situation.
Eventually, the thing that is making it smell will stop
smelling.
Being there.
It might still be there.
but it won't smell
anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like the flesh will have
The bacteria
gone
will
away
have
to such a point.
Done their jobs.
Yeah, where there is nothing more to make a smell.
Exactly.
You know, good luck!
Which reminds me, Catherine, it's a great coincidence that this podcast is brought to you by Cabinet Floors.
Everybody's got them.
Everybody's got
them. All cabinets got floors.
And then there's the space between the cabinet floor and the floor.
Uh-huh.
And that's where the dead things live.
If nothing else, there's definitely some dust in there.
Oh, yes.
Yes. This podcast is also brought to you by the...
the picnic party.
Yeah.
The Pantaleon.
The Piccadilly Circus. The Pantaleon. All right.
That's the second Historic Materials reference this episode. This podcast is also brought to you by all the people we went to grad school with who we'd love to hear from. Yeah. All the people who we went to grad school with who we'd love to hear from. What's up?
Yeah.
Where you at?
Yeah.
I'm not going to reach out to you, though.
No. But Hank's email is easy to find on the internet.
Oh, God.
And Hank, this podcast is brought to you by the little weed whacker inside your computer that used to turn on when you put a CD in and make a lot of wind.
It's going to fly away.
This episode of Dear Hank and John is brought to you by Thrive Market. T-H-R-I-V-E is how that's spelled. You may or may not be like me. Here's a thing I know about myself. If I put it in my house, I'm going to eat it fast, in no time flat. And so I like to shop in a way that makes sure that the kinds of foods that are in my home are the kinds of food that should be in my body. You know what helps out with that is having a go-to grocery and household essentials thing that I can that just like pops up on my phone and it's like, hey, do you want to order your monthly thing? And I'm like, yeah. And then I pick the things that I want in my house and I don't pick the things that I don't want in my house in the moments when I actually have self-control, which is not when I'm standing in front of the pantry. Thrive Market's super great. Whether you're looking for organic kid snacks, low sugar alternatives, or gluten-free pantry essentials, which I absolutely am. And the pretzel bites with the peanut butter inside of them to make my wife so happy. She's like, I can finally have peanut butter pretzels again after developing a gluten allergy. It's fantastic. And as a Thrive Market member, you save money on every single grocery order. On average, you can save over 30% each time. They even have a little deals page that changes like every day, and you can go and see it and see like, maybe I want to try out some new fun thing. They got all kinds of brands on their website. They got Amy's, Banza, Burt's Bees. They got Mike's Hot Honey, Oatly Olipop, Poppy, Salt. When you join Thrive Market, you are also helping a family in need with their one-for-one membership matching program. You join, they give. Join in on the savings with Thrive Market today and get 30% off your first order plus a free $60 gift. Go to thrivemarket.com/dearhank for 30% off your first order plus a $60 gift. That's Thrive Market, T-H-R-I-V-E market.com/dearhank. And they have told me to say it one final time, even though at this point it seems like a lot. thrivemarket.com/dearhank.
Catherine, this next question comes from Kaylin, who asks, Dear Hank and John, or Hank and Catherine, I keep, sometimes they do that, and I refuse. What are you thinking? Well, the name of the podcast is Dear Hank and John. I keep hearing Americans talk about this Groundhog Day thing, and I have no idea what you are talking about. I need answers. No capacity for creating sign-offs. Kaylin. So there is a rodent. Who lives in Vermont?
Why? No, it doesn't. It is a very strange.
No.
Like, yeah. I don't understand it either. Can I just say that?
Yeah.
I think it's Pennsylvania.
It's Pennsylvania.
Oh, that's another word we can.
Yeah. During the Punxsutawney. I just.
Oh, God. Can we just get through this Punxsutawney? Yeah. I think it's a Pennsylvania thing. But yeah, there's a rodent, and mm-hmm. the people of this city decided that they wanted to make a holiday about it.
They just wanted to be in charge of whether winter was going to happen or not.
It used to be real important that that winter was coming to an end.
Right.
But like they still didn't. So people would try to predict that whether it was ending or not.
Yeah. And one of the predictors, I imagine that back in the Farmer's Almanac days when you needed to know whether to plant your crops or not.
Sure.
There was a lot of different, like signs.
Sure, yeah.
That you would sort of divine the future with.
Yes.
And the only one that has lasted is a rodent in Pennsylvania.
Just one single hog of the ground.
And the story of why that one rodent in Pennsylvania is the one who lasted, I'm curious about. Like, what is it? Is it the word Punxsutawney is weird?
It's weird. And I wonder if there is any tie to any other, like, deeper culture.
I bet not.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'd be interested to hear the deeper story of how Groundhog's Day became a thing. And is it Groundhog's Day or Groundhog Day? I don't even know.
It didn't come up in American Gods, so I imagine it's not that deep.
Yeah. Is this rodent a god? Kind of.
Kind of.
A little bit.
apparently has control over the winter, so.
That's a lot of power.
Yeah.
That's a lot of energy you're in control of, little man.
Anyway, Kaylin, we don't know either.
Yeah, it has gotten.
Can you as find I've gotten answers? Older?
Exactly. Good call, Catherine.
How about you search for them and let us know?
All right, Catherine, let's do one more question before we get to the all-important news from Mars. It's from Olivia, who asks, Dear Hank and Catherine, can you make art in space? Like for watercolor to dry, the water needs to evaporate. Can it do that? Mm-hmm. Would you even be able to apply the paint to the paper? What about acrylic paint? Additionally, how much would you be willing to pay for some space art? Pronounced like Olivia, Vincent Van Gogh. What? Why does it say Vincent Van Gogh under there?
They're saying that this question is actually from Vincent Van Gogh.
Gogh.
But yeah. they're.
But it's pronounced Olivia.
Yeah.
Got it. I caught up. You can make art in space. Astronauts do it all the time. Not all the time, but many astronauts have. Brought watercolors up to the space station and done art up there because you can totally do it. Now, there are certain paints you don't want to use because they might...
Tiny particles.
Particles. Yes. You also don't want volatiles.
Oh, sure,
so,
sure.
So, like,
sure.
Bad smells are harder to get scrub out of the air there.
Yeah, so acrylic paints probably wouldn't be.
Yeah.
And oil paints.
Astronauts are either discouraged from or explicitly prohibited from selling stuff.
Yeah.
That was part, like, bringing stuff up. And then selling it and be like, this is a space coin. They can give stuff away. But I think that there is a rule against selling your space art as space art.
Sure.
So how much I would pay for it is, I think,
irrelevant.
Irrelevant. But I think I would pay extra for priceless. Space art if I...
Sure.
If I liked it, you know, if I like that, I would probably pay more if I knew that it was made in space. The question of whether it would be... You could have, like, do things that you couldn't do otherwise is interesting to me. Like, could you make art in space that you kind of couldn't make on Earth? And I think you definitely could.
Yeah.
Like, zero gravity art would be really, is an interesting idea.
Right. Because gravity definitely plays a factor in
how things work,
how paint behaves.
Yeah. That would be, that's an interesting thought. Also, Planet Labs, which is a space satellite company, but they, space satellite as opposed to Earth satellites. So the ones we keep here on the ground is a telescope company. And they, except the telescope's pointed Earth. So they like take pictures of Earth a lot.
bunch of them. Right?
They have a bunch of them.
They have
yeah.
a bunch of them.
They basically
just taking pictures of everything all the time.
Yeah, they like help figure out what's up with crops or yeah. wildfires and mm-hmm. stuff. So whatever you see, like day to day shots of wildfires, that's Planet Labs almost always. Every one of their satellites they send up, one side is solar panels on one side, and the other side doesn't have anything on it. So they just print art. And they like commission artists to make art for the other side of their Planet Labs little space telescopes, which are like pretty small. Like yeah. they're about 3 feet across. And
like a normal yeah. a canvas size.
Yeah. You know? And so like up in space around us, there is a space gallery that no one can see.
Oh my God.
Which I think is adorable.
Yeah, because the cameras on the satellites aren't pointing that way either.
Yeah, no one can see it.
Well,
and then they
come down and crash.
They crash.
They
are designed to burn up in the atmosphere. So I think that's lovely.
Well, is there a gallery of this art that you can
yes,
look at?
Yes, you can look at. Yes, okay. I went to their offices and they have.
Yeah.
They have all the
I've
art.
I've been
that
there
they,
too. I just didn't remember that.
Yeah.
Huh. Mm-hmm. Cool.
Well, Catherine, in Mars news this week is just Perseverance stuff.
Yay!
And I feel like it should be for a while now. So maybe this is part of also why I'm feeling hopeful right yeah. now. So we're getting more great stuff out of the Perseverance landing. NASA has released the audio of the rover's landing, which is so freaking cool. That includes the sound of the breeze of Mars, also some of the sounds of its machinery actually operating, like the things moving up and the mast cam. Because, of course, it kind of arrives folded up and
sure.
it has to unfold itself. They released a 360-degree panorama, and you can see the landscape that they're currently inside of, and you can see the rim of the crater in the distance in the same way that we kind of can when we're inside of Yellowstone, where it's like
sure.
you're kind of surrounded by this caldera.
It doesn't look very red.
Well, yeah. What color Mars is a really interesting question.
Mm-hmm.
And how to take a picture and know that how to do white balance on Mars.
Yeah.
So it's do like, you
good point.
Do you show what it yeah. So like it, a lot of like decisions, like there are human decisions that go into what Mars looks like. But
sure.
it is certainly brown.
Yeah.
It is browner than Earth.
Yeah, I mean you would expect that it would look reddish.
Yeah.
Right.
That's lots of iron oxide. It looks red in the sky.
Yeah.
Which is amazing that like...
Well, that's the interesting
people,
thing about it.
Ancient people could look at that and be like, that one is redder.
Yeah.
Which I guess I can notice, but uh-huh. I don't know that I would notice unless someone told me first. But I guess if the night sky was...
That's all you did. That's all you had.
A pretty big part of my life.
That's all you had.
Yeah.
To look at night.
More. So yeah. China's Tianwen-1 spacecraft is also getting prepared for a future landing in May or June. It's closing in around Mars to take in its parking orbit. New Orbit gets the spacecraft as close as 170 miles and as far away as 37,000 miles from Mars. So it's a big elliptical orbit.
Oh, okay.
And it takes about 2 Earth days to do that orbit. While it's at this new distance, Tianwen-1 will be studying the landscape and the dust conditions at its primary landing site so it can prepare for a safe landing.
Oh, so it's going around a few times, just be like,
taking
just checking everything out.
Uh-huh.
Oh, that's cool.
That's smart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's interesting. It's able to do that.
And I'm pretty sure that we share Mars Reconnaissance Orbiter images with the Chinese Space Agency. So they have this access to the same images that we have.
How many like operating things are like currently
on or around Mars?
And looking at Mars?
I don't know. That's a great question, Catherine.
Oh, thanks.
So there are a bunch of orbiters. Eight orbiters right now.
Lots of orbiters.
Yep.
So a couple of rovers.
Yep, some rovers down there.
And then other things just sitting there.
Yeah, some just sit.
Some just landers.
Yeah, the InSight mission just sits there and studies the inside of the planet, waiting for earthquakes to bounce around so it can know what's going on inside.
Interesting. Okay. Good job, everyone.
Good job, Catherine. Thank you for making a podcast with me.
You're welcome.
I do miss making podcasts with you.
I know.
You've got to figure out something else to do. You can go to listen to our podcast, Delete This, but only old ones, because we haven't been making them lately.
I don't want to talk about Twitter anymore.
Yeah.
Plus, there was the whole panorama.
That's been a lot. This podcast is edited by Joseph Tuna-Medish. It's produced by Rosianna Hals-Rojas and Sheridan Gibson. Our communications coordinator is Julia Bloom. Our editorial assistant is Deboki Trepravardi. The music you're hearing now and at the beginning of the podcast is by the great Gunnarola. And as they say in our hometown, don't forget to be awesome.